Welcome, everyone. You guys know me. And for those of you who don't, my name is Chloe Ballatore. I am a relationship and communication expert. I'm a graduate of Princeton University and Pat Allen's Want Institute. And I use the tools of transactional analysis as created by Eric Byrne. I use the tools of androgynous semantic realignment, which was created by Pat Allen, who mentored me. And I use tools that I've created myself because I've been doing this work now for, wow, almost 15 years. So I am also 20 years, over 20 years married. So everything that I'm teaching you guys, in addition to it being underpinned by psychological and scientific principles, I have also vetted it myself. So I've done these things and seen it work. And I've, at this point, worked with thousands of people and seen it work. I've also written four books on the subject. Those are all available on Amazon. The first book is about the basics of this work. So if you hear some things tonight and you want to have like a reference or learn some more about it, I suggest that one, How to Live, Find Love, and Keep It. But all my books are there on Amazon. And I also teach this work in asynchronous modules and occasional live modules if you're interested in that. And we go deeper in on those times. Okay, so I'm going to start with a brief introduction of the principles upon which this work is based. And as I have already said, those are very established principles. That's very established scholarship. But I'm going to give a brief introduction of that scholarship, and then I'm going to spend the rest of my time taking your questions. And that's what I want to focus on the most. So while I'm talking, think about what questions you have, specifically what you want, what you don't want, and how to get it and how not to get it. Those are usually the things that I work with people on. I know that's very general. My specialty is dating and relationships, but I also help people with all kinds of conflict resolution, family problems, problems of communication, work stuff. Every relationship is ultimately about the relationship you have with yourself. And so anything that falls in that category is something that I work on with people. Okay. So, what are we talking about? When we talk about successful relationships, what we're really talking about relationships that are balanced between feminine energy and masculine energy, okay? And we can also call that yin and yang. There's a lot of confusion about what feminine and masculine mean and what yin and yang are. So I'm going to give a brief description of that. If you want to get very deep into yin yang, there's a great book about that called The Yin Yang of Life by Dr. Kim and Dr. Lee. They're both MDs, but they have studied this stuff and they've broken everything up in the world into yin and yang. So things that you wouldn't even think of classifying as feminine or masculine, like food and wine and colors, they've done it. And so if you want to understand those principles more, I highly recommend that book. Okay. Basically, all of us are both. All of us have a yin or feminine side that is in the right brain, in the right hemisphere of the brain. This is the world of feelings, of sensuality, sexuality, creativity, the world of magic. It's receptive energy, it's passive, patient, vulnerable. Yin energy is in the world to make it fun, but it's not of the world. It's very ethereal, it's like air. And then on the other side, we all of us have a left brain. And this is the yang energy or the masculine. This is the seat of singular thought, single-mindedness, competing, conquering, controlling. Most of us are in our left brain when we're at work because we're doing, achieving, taking care of things. Left brain energy, yang energy, is very much of the world. Yang energy, masculine energy is like bricks. And just because you were born a certain gender doesn't mean that you're predominantly that energy. It often means that, I'd say about 75 to 85% of the time. But sometimes people are born masculine as a man, but they feel more feminine authentically. Sometimes vice versa, women are born, but they have female organs, but they feel masculine authentically. That's fine too. The important thing is that you get your balance right. And as women get older, we get a little more masculine because we have a drop off in hormones. And as men get older, they get a little more feminine because they also have a drop off in hormones during andropause. So that happens around the ages 45 to 50. Okay. So, in your relationship, it's really important to understand that all of us have both of these sides, but which side is more dominating? Now, again, you're probably in your masculine energy at work, but in your personal life, do you want your feelings cherished or do you want your thoughts respected? Everybody wants both. But which do you want more? And we use this rubric. You don't have to do it all the time, but it really helps in conflict resolution and awkward situations, okay? Which, like, first dates are. So these tools really help you flush the communication and knowing whether or not you want your feelings cherished or your thoughts respected, knowing which one you want more is very useful when working with these tools. And we'll get into that more later. When I take your questions, you'll get to see how this work really operates. Right now, we're just learning. And if you don't understand everything I'm saying, that's fine, especially if it's your first time. For me, it took a lot of repetition, and I really didn't understand it at first, but I had seen an incredible result in a friend of mine. And so that drew me in, where she had really transformed her life in 3 years from being broke, single, always struggling, no job, to having like a huge career and marrying the man of her dreams. I mean, it was pretty incredible. So when you this work really does give you results. It's not always easy, but you will see results. One of the things that can throw off your authentic balance is childhood trauma. And when we see problems in relationships, especially intimate relationships, what we're usually talking about is the manifestation of childhood trauma. And that's anything that happened between the ages of 0 to 12 that separated you from your innocence. So it doesn't really matter if it was trauma with a big T or a small T. It really matters more how you process that trauma. And there's a great book about that called The Myth of Normal by Gabor Mate. And he really talks a lot about how children have to often sacrifice their authenticity to get along with the people who own the refrigerator, right? And we are very dependent when we're small children. And so this is a necessary sacrifice that we make. Based on the sacrifices that we make and based on our childhood experiences, we begin to form coping mechanisms. And what these coping mechanisms translate to us are as existential truths, but they're actually not. They're just strategies of the moment. And problems occur when we take these coping mechanisms into our adult relationships and we try to work them out unconsciously. And you are doomed to repeat that which you can't understand. That's the repetition compulsion. That's Freud's work, also the work of Alice Miller, another psychologist I love, who wrote a book called For Your Own Good that really goes deeply into the repetition compulsion. But it means that which we don't understand, we are doomed to repeat. So we will repeat the strategies, we will repeat the patterns of our childhood trauma until we can bring enough awareness to them that our brain can think of it and our mouth can articulate it. If we can't do that, that trauma ends up being buried and it will ultimately manifest as disease. And Gabor Mate writes a lot about that as well. So, a lot of the time, what I help people do is fix this trauma, healed this trauma in the sense of fixing the ego dystonia that results from it, meaning that traumatized girl children tend to become more masculine, and traumatized male children tend to become more feminine. Okay, and the archetypes that are really easy to use for that are Peter Pan and Wendy, where you have Wendy who becomes very precociously related at a young age. She's not even a teenager, right? She's taking care of the siblings. She's, organizing everybody, making sure everybody's okay. She's like a junior mom, and she's not even a teenager, right? And then we have, so it's very masculine, doing, taking care of, controlling. And then we have, on the other hand, Peter Pan, who can't take responsibility, who doesn't grow up, who runs from maturity, who runs from relationships. Okay, so that's what's known as kind of the dystonic feminine. Again, if you know, I'm saying a lot of terms and a lot of, I'm throwing a lot out at you guys right now. And so if it's your first night, don't worry, things will become clearer as we use this work and as we explore what this philosophy and what these tools mean in the context of what you guys are going through. Okay, so now I'm going to take questions. You can raise your hand, you can put a question into the chat. And again, it can be about dating, it can be about relationships. Those are my specialties. But it really, even if you have a question about something that has already been said, I also love to hear your guys' updates. So if you've used some of this work and come back and tell us how it went, that's also very helpful. So, yeah. And I know sometimes it's hard to share in a room of strangers, but sometimes it's easier. So, no questions? Everyone's good tonight? Oh, okay. Raul, how can I help you?
Hey, no, I just since there were no questions, I just want to give an
Good.
update. So basically, I missed last week because I had a rough week with my partner because she kind of had a little like blow up over my Instagramming again. So it's a recurring thing. But
Okay,
this
just
time,
tell everybody what the issue is.
so on Instagram, of course, I like to see a variety of material, including girls in different outfits and stuff. So she doesn't like it when I'm looking at girls, and so we've had this issue in the past. We came to some agreements as to, what was permissible and what wasn't. But it seems to like every once in a while she just has this where she kinda has this explosion over it. So the way my coworker explained it to me, it's kinda like percolating. And eventually you just pop, So I think that's the main thing that I encountered with her.
And I know you
So
guys negotiated that you're not making comments and you're not liking things, right? You're not reaching out to people or anything like that. You're just looking, right?
correct. So there was that issue, but I think what was different this time was that she treated me in a way that I'd never seen her treat anybody else. And I kind of did I took a stand and I said to her, I'm not that guy that you could treat this way. So hopefully that
Do you
behavior
mean that she
will
disrespected you?
cease.
Okay.
Yes, very much.
Okay.
So, in many ways, I mean, first of all, she didn't want to hear my side of the story at all. She said, oh, I don't want to hear your excuses. And then she went on and did a lot of other things that she knew was disrespectful to me, even though Well, she said she wasn't doing it consciously, but nevertheless, that's kind of like it all speaking in my mouth.
Right,
And
behavior's a language
took us a
thing.
week.
Yeah.
And so it took a week for us to kind of, for her to regroup and talk to me about it. And then that's when I told her, I said, yeah, I'm not gonna be the guy you can just, have these explosions with. So,
Right.
but she's willing to give it a go. And we'll
Okay,
see
so she took
how
some accountability for it.
progresses. Well, that was the thing that triggered me was she sent me a text a few couple of days later telling me that she wasn't going to apologize for her feelings.
Okay.
And I took it as I guess she still did. I guess she did not want to hear it anyway. So it made me have some, I did took some countermeasures. Like I started looking for new places to stay and all that.
Right.
But for the time being, I'm going to see what happens.
Okay. Okay. Well, keep us posted.
So I give, yeah, I will.
I mean, good for you for standing your ground, because I know that we've talked about it before, and we know that she doesn't like you looking at Instagram. But, she's agreed that it's okay as long as you're not, which you have never done, reaching out to people or liking stuff or engaging with people, right? And I mean, let's be real. Instagram is full of TNA. For everyone. So that's just what's on there. That's what's in our society. So I understand, she's being triggered, but I know that you guys did agree that that was okay for you to do. So I appreciate that she's trying to have a different reaction to those triggers other than, breaking up with you, basically going nuclear. But also, I think what's been important in these exchanges and what's been kind of a learning curve for you guys is her expressing her feelings without shaming you. So I want to see a little progress on that too. You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay. Okay, thank you for sharing. Okay, so a bunch of people are saying that social media is a trigger for them as well. And yeah, I mean, I hear you. It's kind of hard for women to sometimes to see social media in a neutral light. But I will say that in my experience, men who are looking at pictures of women on social media are not more likely to cheat than men who are not looking at women of at pictures of women on social media. Meaning, it doesn't mean that the guy is going to cheat. It doesn't mean that the guy is disgusting. This men are very visual, and this, they enjoy looking at pictures of women. Looking is human and natural, and I know it's not great when you're out with a guy and he's looking at other women, and that kind of sucks, especially if it's over the top. But occasionally these things are going to happen. And it's important to see the nuance that just looking really isn't the crime. Like, the real concern is your partner cheating on you? Is your partner having an affair with somebody else? Is your partner looking to get out? Just looking is pretty much falls within normal behavior. And we've actually, I mean, I don't want to date myself too much, but when I was younger, it was pretty normal to go into a doctor's office or a lawyer's office and see pornography on the table, to see Playboys and penthouses. And that made me uncomfortable. I'm not like saying let's go back to that, but I think looking at Instagram is preferable to that. Okay, moving on. Who's next?
Well, Elizabeth Rose raised her hand, but there was a question from Davida in the chat.
Oh, okay. Let's see what that was. Davida. Okay. Is Davida here? Oh, yeah. Okay. Hi, Davida.
Hello. Thank you for allowing me to unmute. I didn't post the question. I'll try to make this short. I know what you're saying is he's not right for you. Hundreds and thousands of men who say they're outdoorsmen aren't. And I'm learning. Hi. And thank you for telling me you think I'm beautiful. You love my, photos, but this is what I'm looking for. When's the last time you went tent camping? Oh yeah, I'm an outdoorsman. Come on, when's the last time you went hiking or boating or kayaking or on a road trip? Oh yeah, once a year ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Okay, I'm sorry. No.
Right. Okay.
Meeting in person. Sure. Oh, you're so hot. Oh, you look good. You wear
Okay. What's
so
your question, though?
hot. This is what I'm trying to think. How many thousands of men can you go through? And I know the problem is I live in Vegas. I get, everyone says go to St. George, go to places around. Yeah, but I'm never going to meet the men. They're going to want to email me endlessly and send or talk to me. And they're never going to meet me because they're too far away and it's too inconvenient.
Never. Why are
I
you going all nevers? You don't. No. First
Because I've tried hundreds of times to try to email endlessly men that live even an hour away, Mesquite, these rural areas, and you never meet them. Not what I mean, even if they call you on the phone,
all. Okay, so
they
in your
always phone
experience,
you.
you don't want to go out into the rural areas around Vegas, but you're also not happy with the men in Vegas?
I cannot drive, so I can't. I walk. I've spent my life walking faster than most young men.
Okay.
That's why I kept in such good shape. That's why I don't want to go to a half mile walk in a park when I'm used to 10 miles a day, faster than most walking
Okay,
faster
so
than
what's
most
your
men drive.
question?
The question I'm trying to express is, outside of Vegas, yes, you meet men; they're more compatible, but they're never going to come to Vegas. Even wants to meet you in my experience, yet the men in Vegas who are non-smokers, I'm not going to date a smoker. If his priority was kids, if he's, that's not going to work. It's just how many thousands and thousands of men do you have to go through online, in person, trying to find someone who is a true outdoorsman like they claim to be.
Okay.
Why
Well,
is everyone a liar? I just don't get it.
okay.
And I'm not exaggerating. I am sure I'm up to 5,000 men online in
Okay.
the last year,
So
2 years.
let me give you a couple little tips. I mean, ultimately, we don't decide when we meet someone, right? That part is up to God. All we can do is dig in on our spiritual work, do these tools. Do the five flirts, put ourselves in a position to meet somebody. So my thing is, if you really like outdoorsy men, go to the Sierra Club. The Sierra Club has a ton of events. They have a ton of singles events. There are definitely trips. I have another client just like you. I don't know, she's definitely middle-aged, but she's super active. She bikes, she goes on biking trips, she does all this stuff alone, and she meets people. So I would suggest doing stuff like that. There's the Sierra Club, even hanging out in or around where there's like a camping shop or a sports chalet or something like that, so that you could find. Did we lose Davina? Okay, well. We lost her, but I would suggest hanging out where men like that are and then engaging in those types of activities. Okay.
Elizabeth has her hand up next.
Okay. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Chloe.
Welcome back. How can I help you?
Well, okay, so I have a question, like a follow-up from last week. So there is this guy, at work who I have been talking to, or I guess he has been talking to me. But I
Very
noticed,
good, very good.
there were times, like there's times I'm not even making eye contact. I'm not doing anything. Not even calling attention to myself, but like one time he came over to talk to me. But I've noticed something about him. he doesn't like when he came over, we talked for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, but he wasn't looking me in the eye. He was looking at his shoes, at my drink, at the cubicle, at the plant, at the ceiling, anything but me. But this is a very confident guy. He's very popular. Everybody knows him. And I
So
don't
you
understand
notice
this.
him having eye contact with other people?
Yeah, like
Okay. But
he's
you and
normal.
I have talked about how intense it is, right? We talked just casually about how flirting is basically making eye contact and smiling. That's how you start. But even you said to me a few weeks ago, oh, holy shit, that eye contact, man. I don't know if I can do it. So that's what's happening. To me, it's pretty obvious he likes you. He's
Oh, okay, so
uncomfortable
it's
around
happening.
you.
It happens to him too. I thought it was only a woman thing. It can happen to the guy
Oh,
too.
yes. So I would say if you notice that he has no trouble making eye contact in general, because there are people who don't do eye contact, and I generally think that's a yellow flag because they could just be nervous, but overall you want a man that can look you in the eye, or even a woman. There's so much is communicated by eye contact. So much of communication isn't verbal, isn't talking. And so eye contact does a lot there. But if he's having eye contact with other people, but he's not able to really have it with you, it probably means he likes you and he's just really nervous about the intensity of the eye contact. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not telling you not to go for it. Still go for the eye contact, Still try to be available for the eye contact. But you might need to wait a little while for him to calm down. I appreciate, though, that he made an attempt, that he came over and talked to you. Just you can help build up, if you're interested in him, you can help him build his confidence. Give him compliments on his achievements, or his ideas, the way he did something, the way he handled something, a suggestion he had, a piece of advice. These are ways that you show a man respect for his ideas, and then he will feel more confident.
Okay, that's a thank you for that. I just never imagined in a million years that somebody, who's this confident could be like this, but I guess it could be,
Most of us are both, Most of us have our moments where we're very confident and have our moments where we're very insecure. Somebody told me today I was very confident, and I said thank you, but I had to restrain myself from saying I have my moments. Okay, good. Well, I look forward to see what's happening with this guy.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Hi, Allie.
Hi, Chloe. Hello.
Welcome back. How are you? How can I help you?
Thank you so much. I'm doing well.
Yay!
Yeah, thank you. Just wanted to, after wetting my whistle, give an update and share also a little bit about. So I have a challenged relationship with my mother. I actually treated her to dinner. I feel like I had a breakthrough where instead of lamenting over the relationship I don't have with her, I'm not even sure what inspired me to do this, but I picked up dinner and I asked her with a little excitement in my voice. Hey, why don't you find something like when, the tube and we can watch a movie. I'm gonna go pick up some dinner. And she goes, "Oh, really? Do you want me to find something like and she's telling me about programs that I like." And I said, "No, you pick. It's your choice. I'll let it be your night. You find something that you think would be really interesting and then we'll watch it when we come back, when I come back." So, we hadn't seen the movie Wicked. She had wanted to see it, and I also had wanted to see it. So she found Wicked on cable, and so we watched Wicked while eating. And we had a wonderful time. It was a really great movie, and I had not anticipated the kind of musical quality that it was. I have alerts popping up. That's what you may hear. And so, We didn't really communicate much. However, we shared a meal while watching something that was mutually
Right, you
enjoyable.
had an enjoyable experience together.
We did, and I think that's the ticket. We don't
Yeah.
communicate that well together, yet we can do that together, yet be somewhat alone.
I love this. I'm so glad you brought this up because I think this is really important. You know, a lot of us do have troubled relationships with our parents. And it's important to be able to see the nuances because you don't always need to cut people off completely. You know? Sometimes, and that's why I always say if they're 51% valuable, we keep them. You know, if you're getting something out of the relationship and it sounds like you are, then it's worth it. Nobody's perfect, especially with a parent. It's often possible to avoid some of the danger zones. Like you said, you know, not everything needs to be discussed and hashed out, right? Like sometimes that can be too much. I don't want you guys to repress or suppress things, but at the same time, sometimes there can be too much discussion. And so just no understanding the limitations of your relationship, but still choosing to engage. And I really love how you picked what you picked. First of all, you picked something sensual for both of you. Picked eating, which is sensual. So that was a mutual cherishing of feelings, but you actually cherished her feelings because you were like, what do you want? Right? So you gave it to her, which she responded by appreciating with her behavior. Right? She maybe didn't say, thanks. I really appreciate that you let me watch Wicked. That was what I wanted, or that you agreed to Indian food because I know that's not your favorite, whatever. But you doing that contributed to the two of you having a pleasant experience together.
We did. And she, when I came back, was buzzing around the kitchen. I literally with peps in her step, and she was getting the cutlery and, the napkins and what have you.
And
She
that's the proof
didn't
that you
play it.
made her feel good because then she could do good. So you did for her what it sounds to me like she hasn't been able to do for you. You cherished her feelings, but she was open enough to receive it and responded very well. So she's teachable.
Then I said, "Hey, mom, have you noticed how like this went so well and like there's this really nice flow between us?" She goes, "I do." And I said, "I think the transparency you allowed earlier in that exchange that we had made all the difference." And I said, "That's why I really favor open, honest, truthful conversations, even if it's a difficult subject matter." And she goes, I agree. I agree with you." So she's kind of like, coming around. I'm able to have more authentic conversations with her. Not too much, but more than I have in the past. And it's made a difference. And with my sister, I am no longer requiring, like you were saying, the hashing out of everything. I have embraced radical acceptance. And these are just not the relationships that I'm looking to go all out and all deep on. It's just not possible, and I'm allowing them to be what they are and to love them where they are, how they are. It's not ideal, but it's doable, and it feels good when we're in that space. And so my sister and I have a loving relationship when we're not going toe to toe on heart issues, and I'm kind of staying in the shallows with both of them. So it's amazing. It's
I'm
amazing.
so glad, and I love to see how you're using this work and putting it, with all your relationships, not just your guy, but with your family, because that's the truth of it. You know, these principles are true and they're universal. And so when you use the tools, it'll work whether it's dating, whether it's your mom, it'll work.
Definitely. And things with my sweetheart and I are going so smashingly well. And he is just like a little kitty cat purring right at my side. It's
I
just
love
amazing.
it. I'm
He's
so
so good.
happy.
Yeah. And
You've
he was
really
so.
seen results quickly.
Thank you. He's so excited for me. He really celebrates and rallies me when I tell him about the good news and the breakthroughs in my interpersonal dynamics with my family. And
That's
he was,
such a good sign.
it is. And so we're planning to go on vacation later. Well, it's just spring, but anyway, he's telling me that he wants to plan something for us. And so we're also doing like a gathering at his house on Fridays where like friends and family are gathering just for like table games and cards and stuff like that. I'm not a big fan of it, but I'm working my schedule so that I can be available.
I love how you are doing more things just for pure pleasure.
Yeah, I'm making
That's
time
the
more
feminine
available.
values, right?
Yeah, I'm making myself more available, and I'm making sure that he sees that it's a, I'm going to use the word, it's not sacrifice, it's an investment. It's not a sacrifice. It's an, I'm investing in us by saying no to certain things that I can say yes more to the things that are important to him. And he's doing more things like buying me gifts and stuff like that, where he's like, sweetheart, I have a surprise for you and you'll see it when you get here. So it's
Wow,
just
you've
been
gotten so
lovely.
much better at receiving gifts.
Thank you. Yeah. And his communication is improving.
Yeah, because
And
they'll pick it up from you.
yeah, he's.
Mom's picking it up from you. He's picking it up from you. And that's why I love this work, because I'm
Yeah.
working with you, but
Yes.
it's not going to be just you.
Right.
You're going to radiate all the things you're doing is already affecting your circle of people. And
Everywhere. It's
see
been
how this is
amazing.
having an exponential effect. It's really exciting. It's really inspiring. That's why I do it.
Thank you so much, Chloe. And in closing, let me just say this part. I said, baby, what is going on? Like you're, something has shifted in you. What's going on? Like you're like just so like, I don't know. We haven't had an argument or anything. He was like, well, because I'm, you know, I thought about what you said, and you know, we do have an amazing relationship. And he's like, sweetheart, I could do this for the rest of my life. I love our relationship. It's just
I
so
mean,
amazing. And
what's
he's
better to
telling
hear
me.
than that?
Yeah, and he's telling me he's being nice. I said, what? He's like, well, because. And so whenever things get a little prickly, he's like, okay, baby, be nice.
I
So
love it.
he's being on good behavior and he's being intentionally softer because I said, baby, I am not the enemy. Like, what are you, what's that edginess about? I don't do edginess. So I check it as soon as it happens. And he's soft and he's a big guy, you know, and he kind of like, you know, checks his tone and I'll tell him, babe, the tone, I'm not feeling the tone,
Okay,
seriously.
so you guys are already coming up with your own little tools in the shorthand in your communication, which is also very good. You know, because a lot of times in relationships, what Raul was saying, you just people think that things are going okay, but somebody's just burying it, right? Like that when things come up, you guys are like, oh, hey, whoop. Be nice. I like that.
And he also says yes, ma'am, to me. Like if he's got company over something like that, and we were fixing food, and he's a great cook, and I think I mentioned he used to own a restaurant. So anyway, he loves to cook, and so he's
Yeah.
like, sweetheart, hurry up because we're waiting for you to eat. And I'm like, why don't you go on, fix your plate? He's like, sweetheart, no. We're waiting for you to get your plate so that everyone else can eat. So he wouldn't let anybody else eat until I had my food. So I thought that was really nice and
Very
honoring.
chivalrous. Very chivalrous.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank
Yeah,
you.
no,
He
I
honors
mean, he
me.
sounds like a keeper.
He
He
is, and
makes
he honors
food. I mean,
me. Oh, he's an
he's a
amazing
good
cook.
cook.
Oh my God, he cooks for me all the time. Yeah,
Some
definitely.
people get married just for that.
Yeah, I'm
I'm
happy.
so
Thank
glad to hear
you.
your update. That's great news.
Thanks, Chloe.
Okay, so Allie's been coming here for a few months. She's been doing the work, and these are the results, you guys. It's good. It's good. Okay, Amy, here's a question. How do you cope with ADHD boyfriend? He seems to be very. Is Amy here still?
Yes, she is.
Oh, okay. He seems to be very easily distracted and sometimes ignores me. Is he on medication, Amy?
He's not.
Okay, so that might be something that he could explore. How long have you guys been together?
6 months.
Okay, so it's been a minute. Have you discussed that with him before? Has this come up with him, or are you just telling me for the first time?
We have been talking about this, and well, sometimes I feel like I can cope with it. I'm okay with it because I will be like, hey, like I'm talking to you. Like, look at me when you talk to me. I'm talking to you, look at me.
Right. That's good. The eye contact.
Yeah.
That can sometimes jolt somebody back into the
Yeah, I
conversation.
have to bring him back.
Yeah.
But that is when I'm also feeling okay, like I'm a happy person, but
Right.
sometimes I feel depressed, and I just can't do that, and it makes me even more depressed.
When he's doing it. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's okay and sometimes it's not okay. Okay. So there's periods in relationships. The first 3 months is the perfect period. That's when you guys, have the rose colored glasses on. You could be on the cover of a magazine for best couple. Neither of you can do no wrong, can do any wrong. It's that really happy, vacation kind of mentality. And sometimes people just have 3 month relationships because that's all they want to do. The second 3 months, which you're now at the end of, is the imperfect period. So that's the time where the cracks start showing. That's where you start going, oh, okay, he's got ADHD. Oh, okay, his farts smell. Oh, she snores, whatever it is. And then the 6 to 9, at 6 to 9 months is really when you're deciding and negotiating, figuring out, is this going to work? Can we make this a long-term thing, or are we going to part ways? So that's my question for you. It's really up to you. Can you put up with it, or is it something you want to address with him and see maybe he can work on it, i.e., start taking medication or, do brain exercises or, whatever I'm not real well versed on the treatments for ADHD. I know, like you were saying, the eye contact helps. Sometimes there's certain occupational therapies that might help. But that would be something for him to explore, and he would have to be open to exploring it. So if you had that discussion, I would recommend that you use the rubric of the stroke and stand that I have in my first book, which is basically make an appointment to discuss it, let him know what the topic is so that he isn't caught unawares. Ask him if now's a convenient time, and if not now, when? Hopefully today. And then when you start with a compliment. Tell him something that you like that he does. And then you can tell him, sometimes I feel bad, sad, neglected. Do you know if you're wanting to get your feelings cherished or your thoughts respected? Which is more important to you?
My thoughts respected.
Okay, so you want to be the masculine in the relationship?
Well, we try to balance that. He has told me that I try to control the situation. I have that fight or flight mode turned on always, but I also told him that I always tell him that when I'm with him, he can be the masculine person, and I will try to follow.
Okay, good. Because right, you very I don't know if you've been coming to this group.
No, he does. No.
Oh, okay. But you very accurately said you tend to control because it's a trauma response. You're in a fight or flight mode, which is
Yes.
exactly what I don't know if you were here in the beginning, but that's exactly the perfect illustration of what I was talking about in terms of becoming egodystonic, is that when we have childhood trauma, especially women, when we have childhood trauma, we tend to clamp down on control,
Right.
especially when we're stressed, nervous, sad. And part of being feminine is being vulnerable.
I want to be feminine around him. I told him that.
Okay. So then you're going to say, and you're also saying what you're, the way you express the problem to me is that you feel bad. So you're leading with feelings. So if you're leading with feelings, then you have to ask him about his thoughts. So you say, I really like spending time with you and how well you treat me, and you bought me this fur coat or whatever you like. However, I feel really sad sometimes when I can't get your attention. And I know you have ADHD, but what do you think? Is there something you can do to, alleviate it? And see what he says. When you make an I statement and lead with your feelings and ask about a man's thoughts, that is the best and most respectful way to bring up a difficult subject.
We did talk about this, and sometimes he says he will try his best. Like when we go out and he plays with his phone, so he goes to the social media, right? So, and I don't feel good, so I would be like, hey, babe, can you not play with your phone and let's talk or let's do something else.
Right.
And he will be okay with that as long
Okay.
as I make I statement. And I for ADHD, his response was that I am coping with him better now because I know he has ADHD. He will try his best to not lose focus on me, but when he does, he will try to come back
Okay.
around. But sometimes he doesn't come back,
Right.
and I know he's trying, but I just feel so ignored. And
Right.
when I feel ignored, I feel frustrated, I feel sad.
Right. Then you shut down. Right.
I told
Angry.
him that, and he will his response will be, "I'm sorry, my ADHD make you feel that way. I will try harder, but." My concern is that whenever I will bring up my concern to him, but there are so many because he
Right.
tricks.
It's happening all the time.
Yes, so
Okay.
it's almost like I don't want him to relate when he sees me, and then when we start talking, it's gonna be negative because we are going to be talking about something negative. Like
Right.
I don't want him to have that. Relate to
Okay.
each other.
Okay. Let me interrupt you. Okay. So I think. One thing that we have to realize when we pick our partners, and if we have unhealed childhood trauma, this is very difficult.
I'm working with you.
We have to not try, everybody is to some degree a fixer, but it's on them to fix. So at a certain point, now you've had the discussion, he said what he said, he's going to try. If his efforts aren't good enough, you have to accept or reject them. What you don't want to do is tolerate them and keep trying to change him. Okay? You've made your expression. Now you got to see if his effort is enough for you. And if he's 51% valuable, I say keep him. But if you can't put up with it and it's just too much, then you got to break up with him. And then you can let him know also. The last part of the stroke and stand is if he says, okay, I'm going to try, blah, 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 you say, okay, well, you've been trying for 6 months and it's not really having an effect. So I don't know if I can still be with somebody who isn't willing to take medication or change this or who doesn't have ADHD. You have to let him know what the price tag is. Then he'll have like one last chance to do something, But it's really up to you whether you can deal with it or you can't deal with it, if it's worth it for you or not.
Okay.
Okay. And
Okay.
if you're really on the fence about it, you can do a blind study where you put, you give yourself a period of time, either 2 weeks or 8 weeks, sometime a period of time between 2 weeks and 8 weeks. And I'm not getting super specific because just the purpose of this group, but I know somebody else has a question, but if you want to talk about it more, you can set up a private session with me. But basically, I would every time you think about it, you would and you think, oh, he's great. I can do this. I can absolutely do this. Then you would put like an O into a box, into an opaque box. And then every time you think, God, I can't handle this anymore. He's driving me nuts. Or he's making me so sad, I feel so ignored. Then you'd put an X. And then at the end of the time period, you can look at those results. But you might be able to figure it out without that. So let us know. So, see how it goes and let us know what happens, what you decide.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amy, for sharing. That was a really, really good question. Okay. KJ's. What is your question? I'm unmuting you. Are you there,
Hi,
KJ?
my name is
Hi.
Christian. Can you
Welcome.
hear
How
me?
can I help you?
Hi. I am struggling in identifying when I'm in my masculine and when I'm in the feminine. And I know a trauma as a child. My mom was a narcissist. She was abusive, all that kind of stuff. As the oldest, I became the peacemaker. I was kind of raising my brother,
You and your mom.
just always good, so nobody would, yeah. And so I didn't make waves and all that kind of stuff. And then when I grew up, I married a narcissist
Big
and
surprise,
I had
right?
the same kind of situation. I felt like I had no control. Exactly. So I had no control in the marriage or even as a parent because I was always offsetting whatever he was doing and how he was making the kids
Right.
feel.
You
So I
always
wasn't
had to
really
react.
feeling like I was, so I was always compensating for something. And so now, I was shut down and I did all this kind of stuff. But post-divorce, I'm
Yay,
trying to
you
figure
got
out where I
out of
am
it.
now.
Kudos.
And I've,
Kudos.
And I've been out for a while and I'm doing really, really well and I'm very happy. And I feel like I'm happy and content and balanced and in control. But now I'm not sure how I'm presenting because I'm trying to date and nobody wants to date me. I mean, nobody. And I don't know, so obvious in my dating profile or whatever it is, or just chatting online, but it doesn't take long for someone to say, just see ya. But I'm
No,
feeling
it
like I
doesn't.
am presenting differently than I want to in order to be successful in dating. So I feel
Okay.
like
I
I'm
hear
either too
you.
masculine or just too anxious or whatever.
Okay. So first of all, are you only looking on the apps or are you also looking in person?
Oh, I try to look in person, but I mean, that's been really, really hard. I've also been traveling
Okay.
full time up until recently. So
And I'm hearing
I've
that you
traveled
want.
on the road for like 5 months.
Okay. So I'm hearing you want to be in the feminine energy. Is that correct? In your personal
I
relationship?
think so. I think
Okay. So you want to get your
I do.
feelings
I really
shared.
want my feelings to be valued. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Okay. Good.
definitely.
Excellent. Okay. So I'm going to give you the five flirts. And I want you to be doing these flirts. In addition to doing your online dating, I want you to be flirting 5 days a week. What it's going to look like is this. 4 days, you're going to be flirting just in the course of your day. So whether you're traveling or you're walking around the airport, you're walking your dog to the dog park, you're going to the grocery store, whatever it is you're doing, you're on the airplane, you see someone that catches your eye, that you like the look of, that you think you might be interested in, you're going to give them 5 seconds of eye contact with a smile at the same time. One day a week, you're going to plant yourself somewhere. Starbucks by the fire station, hitting a chess club, maybe at a dog park, wherever it is. And you're going to go alone, sit there for, or you can bring your pet, but you sit there for 45 minutes to an hour. And then you do the eye contact and smile on somebody. And if they see it and they're interested, they have more of an opportunity to approach, right? He who speaks first is masculine. So if you start going to a place regularly, people start to get to know you, and that become and then it becomes a little bit easier. But you can also play around with it and go to different spots. You start doing the eye contact and smile, that's a signal to a man that he can approach. Otherwise, men usually don't approach unless they're drunk or they're a total nerd. Okay. So try those things. Again, go alone and try that. And, you said a couple of things that I just want to address. First of all, you said, I've been doing really well. I'm alone. Now I'm trying to date and it's not going so great. That's completely normal. Part of your healing is going to
Right.
be in the context of a relationship. So this is going to be new for you. You're changing, and it's going to be an inherently painful experience. This is one thing that I just want to make sure you know. I always try to, like, I know it's your first night, so I'm loading you up with a lot of stuff, but I want to make sure that you understand that change is inherently painful, even changes for the better. So when you're doing these flirts, if you feel scared, if you feel nervous, that's normal. Still try to keep doing it, because that is literally how we rewire our brain, is by going against our programming. Does that make sense?
Okay. It does.
Okay.
So I try to do these things and I'm very independent and I don't work. So I spend a lot of time doing what makes me happy. So I go for hikes. I take my dogs to the beach and dog parks. And I swear it's almost impossible to make eye contact and to get anybody to engage. But I then become the one who says something first. So that puts me in the masculine position, correct?
Yes.
And so basically, I should be
Unless,
doing
okay,
the
but
eye
there's just
contact and smiling
one.
and not talking.
Right. But the caveat is you can ask for help. Or
Okay, okay.
if you need, like, this would only be if you already knew the person, but if you were to ask them out, like, oh, I have two tickets to a concert. My friend just flaked. Do you want to accompany me? Like an escort. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So, yeah, I've done that before too, but I just like maybe when I'm with guys on the first date or doing something like that, and I guess that would translate to anybody I talk to at the dog beach or the dog park or in the store. Basically, I don't know. I feel like I'm just too, am I too forward? Would that make me masculine and I'm just being friendly, but I'm just putting myself out there too much? I don't know. Am I directing things too much?
Well, I mean,
Because I
again,
feel like I'm just being friendly and having
right.
conversation, but
Right. But when men say they want a mysterious woman, they're often talking about someone who's quiet. And I'm not saying you have to be like that all the time. But a man, we talked about this a little bit. A woman needs to feel good to do good. A man needs to do good to feel good. And so, if you're putting everything out there, then he can't fit into your life. You're already strong enough without him. You know what I'm saying? So he has to be able to give you something. He has to be able to fill a need. He has to be able to, see that there's a place for him in your life. If he thinks that you don't need him, and these things happen on a subconscious and an unconscious level, then he might be turned off. So if you're presenting as too strong and too capable and too confident, and too smart. Like I have a client, very, very, very attractive and a very accomplished doctor. And she has had to say on dates, she's with someone now, but in the past, she's had to say on dates, she leads with, I work in a doctor's office. Because if she tells men, I'm a doctor, I'm a surgeon, I'm on the diplomat board, I'm this, if she treats it too much like a job interview and tells all her credentials and all her masculine stuff, they're get intimidated and she'll never hear from them again. So there's a little bit of a nuance to it. It's not that you have to hide that part of yourself, but it's kind of like sailing and you have to go with the wind. So you have to be tacking. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you
So
do
when we
might
start
want to lead
talking
with more of your
on
feminine
a
side.
okay.
So that would
So when I
maybe
talk
be.
about how I've been on my own and traveling and doing my own thing for so long and that I'm happy and whatever,
You're
I'm
too
not leaving any room
independent.
for somebody to insert themselves.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
You sound too
So.
independent. And it sounds like you don't need anyone in your life because you're super strong.
Well, I
But
don't,
you
but I
do.
want
I know,
somebody.
but you
So
want someone,
I
of
guess,
course.
but so
So
they
you would
don't like
lead
that, right?
with,
Okay.
so instead of saying, I'm doing all that, da, 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 you would ask, ask for help, ask for advice. Hear what he has to say. Praise his thoughts. Let him help you feel better. Let him open the door. You might express your feelings. You would lead with your feelings. I'm cold. If you're in the supermarket, oh, here, take my coat. Put your coat. These kinds of things. And a lot of us, like
Okay.
women like you and like me, and I completely get it because that's exactly how I was raised, the parentified older daughter. We don't want to take help. We can do it ourselves. So you're going
Right.
to have to bite your tongue. If he says, can I
Right.
help you to your car? You're going to have to go, nod, yes.
Okay.
Let him carry the
I'll have to
bags.
practice that more than the flirting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You'll
Okay.
get the hang of it. Okay. I'm going to wrap up now. I know I
Okay.
haven't gotten to
Thank
everybody's
you.
question. You are so welcome. I'm usually here every Thursday. Ashley, I did get your message and I really appreciate it. And I will look into that. But yeah, I'm usually here every Thursday. If you want to reach out to me in the meantime, you absolutely can through my website. Raul will put my credentials in the chat. And if not, I will see you back here. You can also sign up for one of the modules, explore the books. There's a lot of collateral. So if you're liking this work, but you're not, and you want to learn more, there's more. Okay, I'll see you guys next time. Have a good night.